All right, thank you very much. Just a few notes. Well, I can talk all I want before I begin. Dr. Neff, I'd like to introduce my co-author, Dr. Neff, who is here, who's been a great mentor, my dissertation coordinator and advisor, and I thank you for coming. And he agreed not to heckle me too excessively. So thank you. Just a note, a few notes. Oops, I went forward before I planned. I have no disclosures, but I'm going to go through some slides very quickly. I have many slides, and as you go through here, you're going to realize I'm doing probably a 10-minute introduction and about a 6 minutes beyond that of the actual presentation of the research. So the next piece, this is a cover of a fairly popular hospital administration journal. And you can see something that's not very likely to happen. You have a physician texting an administrator saying, BFF? Question mark, and the administrator texting back saying, K. So what this emphasizes is pretty much exactly what my study shows doesn't happen. And so we'll move on from there. But as health services administrators, a big part of our job is changing the way people behave and the way physicians behave. And loyalty and physician actual relationships are considered to be one of the most predictive things in the expert literature. What this study will do is actually test those beliefs. So we all know that health services have room for improvement. And the perception is that EHRs are essential to future improvements. Older systems were standalone to help specific departments like pharmacy, billing, things like that, but they are now complex, integrated, interoperable, and expensive systems. The number of EHRs implemented is forecast to double by 2014, and they cost approximately $30 million per hospital. The range is from $10 million to $70 million per hospital. Physician use is central to the success of the EHR, and incomplete adoption or lack of adoption by some physicians could lead to disparities in services. And also, hospitals stand to gain up to $10 million apiece from the incentive programs that the government has created for adoption. Even with this importance and cost, research in the past has been limited in many ways, and existing models based on physician surveys are not practical for use by hospital administrators to determine what's going to happen when they implement an EHR. So why is this study significant? The research involves a common sense model. Instead of a survey model, it's really common sense based on, okay, these are the things that I think will work. It's based on diffusion of innovations theory and resource dependence theory, and evaluates an objective using objective administrative data. It's the first to use survival analysis, and three measures were evaluated. It's practical, it's predictive. It seems to be moving ahead without me approving it, but maybe that's the problem. I'll try just to keep up with it. Okay, EHR benefits. It's practical, predictive, there we go. Three measures were evaluated. In order to understand my selection of predictor variables, I need to explain a little about the background of EHRs. First of all, we're all familiar with the six aims of care. This slide provides at least one documented example on how the EHR improves care in each aim through alerts, speed, availability, and the use of guidelines. And one study, and actually several now, actually suggest the use of EHR guidelines reduce disparities. Realizing the benefits, the government created the High-Tech and Meaningful Use Initiative. The goals were to capture data in 2010, implement advanced clinical processes in 2012, and by 2014, improve outcomes. There we go. To receive government incentives, key areas such as computerized physician order entry and computerized documentation, such as history and physicals and discharge summaries, must be utilized. And the recommended utilization rates were 80% by the experts, but the government compromised and agreed to a 50% use rate. Typical community In the typical community, physicians will... Wait a minute, I'm off here. Sorry. Somehow I have some timing in here, so I'm trying to fix that. Slide 6, realizing the benefit. Okay, so to receive government incentives, hospitals must meet the specific criteria, the 80% use rate. Now, what I want to tell you about this slide, actually, I have my pages confused, that's why. All right, forget. What you have in this slide is HIMSS is in a special company that evaluates EMR adoption models. You have ranges from stage 1 through stage 7. And there's three things I wanted to show you about this slide. First of all, stage 1, very basic system, stage 7, complex EMRs that have interoperability and the ability to share data. Second thing is only about 25% of the EMRs installed so far are above stage 4. And the third piece is anything above stage 4 requires intense physician involvement. So physicians really have to be using the system to make it successful. Below here, it's just you're looking at things. Above here, physicians are clearly involved in the system, and they have to be involved to make it successful. So to get into a little bit about physician-hospital relations so you can understand what we're talking about in the model I've created here. Resistance may change due to many factors. You have personal level things like stress and habits. You know, if surgeons develop habits over a period of time, for example. But there are also organizational factors that are very important here. And you see that people may reduce power, and there's a power struggle between the physician groups and the hospitals. The typical physician-hospital relationship, hospitals don't really employ physicians. They're employed by a group that works with the hospital. And physicians try to maintain that balance. But the typical hospital system, physicians actually are working at more than one hospital. So they'll balance things between those hospitals. If one hospital doesn't give them what they want, they'll go to the next hospital and by that way influence the power there. So one of the newer things within physicians, hospital relations, people are making personal choices, lifestyle, reimbursement, competition, practice styles, and they're determining what level of alignment works for them. Do they want to be contracted for specific services? Do they want to be employed? Or do they want to remain independent and run their own businesses? Additionally, physicians have a pecking order. The patient enters the system. They may see the primary care physician or they go to the ER. But the primary care physician is very independent of the hospital, and so the hospital doesn't have much power over them. I don't know how to turn off the timings on this sort of thing. Review of the literature. I need you to understand some of the peer-reviewed information out there. 1980s, it was the beginning of real adoption of innovations research. Focus was voluntary adoption. There were really four key areas of adoption there. Hospital adoption, physician office adoption, physician use of CPOE and some of the simpler system, and physician adoption of other technologies. Most of the studies were one-shot case studies, and there were response rate issues with most of these studies. Findings from these in the literature are in the hospital adoption of EHRs, standard thing, number of beds. Big hospitals adopted EHRs, teaching hospitals adopted EHRs, and hospitals that have organizational or system support adopted. When it comes to physician groups adopting EMRs or EHRs, number of physicians, so large groups adopted, government-owned groups adopted, those that were employed by hospital systems, you get the idea. CPOE studies, the main point here is there are a few CPOE studies out there, but they are old, they're limited to tertiary care systems, and there are really no studies that are actually using the AHRQ formula. Individual adoption of IT, this is things like whether they're using PDAs, the internet, email, things like that to communicate with patients, very similar to physician office acceptance. So it really is related to age, hospital-based, employed physicians, same sort of factors. There are no studies, even though it's considered very important in the hospital administration, there's really no study specifically evaluating alignment or loyalty out there in the literature. And so this is one of the first to really look at, okay, does alignment or loyalty make a difference in the adoption? The theoretical approach I took a combination of two theories, diffusion of innovations theory and resource dependence theory. Diffusion of innovations, a lot of people know what that is, but there's actually five theories within there. One of them is that it is on an S-curve. Things are innovated on an S-curve. And the second one is one of them is about the adopter. These are some of the characteristics of the adopter, younger, more educated, kind of matching what's in the literature. Resource dependence theory is a power theory. I don't have a lot of time to go into what resource dependence theory is, but basically it's about that power struggle between the hospital and the physician group and how they try to minimize the dependence they have on each other. If you look at this gets into my actual variables. It's in three groups. You have hospital, physician group, and individual physician levels being analyzed. So my independent variables, I'm saying hospital, large teaching hospitals matching the literature, should adopt faster. Physicians, large physician groups, those that own EMRs, and those who have higher levels of alignment should be faster and higher adopters. Younger physicians, male, I just had to pick one for its hypothesis. I didn't really know which one to pick. And then hospital-based made sense that since they are in the hospital, they would use it more. Discharge volume, so those who have more patients would adopt faster, higher inpatient ratio, so those who admit more inpatients than outpatients. Medical specialty, once again, I had to pick one. The results in the literature were really mixed. And then loyalty. And loyalty I defined as it was the previous year's information and what was the percentage of patients that this physician admitted to this hospital system in the previous year compared to other hospital systems. The methodology, this is a quantitative, retrospective, non-experimental study. I used two linked databases. One was the electronic medical record itself. And the second was a strategic planning database that included a lot of physician demographic information. It was IRB approved. The dependent variables were computerized physician order entry use, electronic history and physical use, and electronic discharge summary use. So we looked at adoption. We defined it as 80%. That's what the experts said it should be. The government, like I say, agreed to 50%, but the experts said 80%, so I used 80%. First time they achieved 80% was considered adoption. And the rate of adoption, so how many months did it take to adopt that? We already talked about the independent variables in the three groups there. Methodology is a healthcare system in Virginia. The most recent three of six hospitals to activate is one large teaching hospital and two community hospitals. It was later awarded HIMSS Stage 7, which means it is the highest level EHR on that chart that we looked at earlier. And we looked at, we didn't want just every physician. We wanted physicians who were, who admitted more than casually, so it was 10 or more. And we studied them for 6 months after activation. The results, let's dive into data cleanup. We started out with 784 physicians, and we eliminated physicians that had less than 10 discharges. A lot of this is actually related to miscoded physicians, when the admitting physician was coded as the emergency physician, things like that. So you can picture how that would end up that way. And we subtracted physicians with less than 3 months of data. You can't trend in survival analysis people with less than 6 months of data. And we subtracted with lack of matching information, so we couldn't link them in the two databases. And then we also subtracted physicians with prior exposure to e-care. And that actually was the one that hurt the most. But I was very happy in the end to have 326 physicians representing roughly 84% of all my admissions. The results, CPOE was adopted fastest, as you can see, the first month CPOE, 50% of the physicians already achieved 80% use. And by the end, by the 6 months, they were up over 80% reached that level we called adoption. The green EDS started out a little slow and then eventually actually passed electronic history and physical. Electronic history and physical, I'm sorry about this timing. You can see it started out a little faster, but then actually just kind of ran relatively parallel to the other function. And this is a very simplified version of the rest of the results. So here you have, this is the hypothesized relationship for each of the variables. So we already went through a large academic hospital, contracted or employed, in terms of alignment level. And then you have your chi-squared versus logistic regression for each of the dependent variables here. And the blanks are areas that are not significant. The green are areas that match my predicted relationship. And the R are areas that were actually reversed relations from what I expected. So it's kind of interesting. If you go through, you can see that for hospital, the large academic hospital actually adopted slower than the two community hospitals, or was less likely to adopt. I'll get to speed in the next slide. Was less likely to adopt than the two community hospitals. And where the two community hospitals, actually the large academic hospital adopted, was much more likely to adopt these two documentation functions. Alignment was consistent throughout. You have, it was predictive, so contracted or employed physicians were more likely to adopt the electronic health record by 6 months than physicians who were not aligned. EMR in the office, and EMR in the office, we'll talk about that, EMR in the office, if you can see in the chi-squared analysis, is predictive, but it falls apart once it's adjusted for the other variables. Age was never predictive. Gender was kind of mixed, so I really don't know what to say about that. Specialty, it was reversed, so surgeons actually were more likely to adopt discharge summary function than medicine doctors, which, now that I think about it, makes more sense, because it's much more routine what they do, and they do a lot of discharge summaries. Hospital-based physicians, same with, they use the discharge summary, but it wasn't really predictive for other areas. And the other results are mixed. For the speed of adoption, or the rate of adoption, it's almost the same exact results. But the difference is, let me go back one slide. With this one, the physician order entry, the Nagel-Kirky R-squared was 66%. This is over 40%, and this is 34%. Whereas with this, the pseudo R-squareds are only 11%, 14%, and 16%. So they don't really explain as much of the variance. And with order entry, the variables, while the overall model was predictive, none of the independent individual variables were predictive. So what does this mean? With respect to policy, first thing I conclude is 80% use is achievable. While the government decided to go for 50%, 80% is achievable. Second one is there's a difference between physician order entry and what we'll call the documentation functions here. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. And the third one is, of all these variables, alignment matters. Adjusted for anything else, alignment matters. I only had three hospitals in this study, so I can't really draw conclusions about there's differences between hospitals. But adjusted for all other variables, I can say alignment does matter. From an administrative perspective, it's important that this actually provides a very easy model for administrators to plug in their administrative data and predict which physicians are going to be a problem and which ones that they should actually spend a little more time on. And it also points out that they need to develop an alignment strategy. If it's this important, they need to continue moving forward toward aligning physicians. Theoretical implications, portions of diffusion of innovations and resource dependence theory were valuable and actually did work out. Organizational variables were stronger than individual variables. So you can see, in the literature, it was the individual stuff, like age and specialty and what group they work for, that seemed to matter. But in this case, it really shows employment and organization matters. It is a practical model. Additionally, it does follow the second half of the S-curve. The hospital already decided, we are putting this in place, are you going to use it? So you don't have all the innovator side of the curve, but it does follow the second half of the curve. Hospital, I already mentioned, used for adjusting other variables. Alignment definitely trumps loyalty. And then with the difference between the functions of order entry and the documentation functions of history and physical and discharge summary, is it because it's action versus documentation? Or is it because it's voluntary versus mandatory to some degree? The CPOE adoption was relatively mandatory. I mean, we pretty much took the sheets, the order sheets off the units, and they could give verbal orders, but it wasn't exactly a voluntary thing. Whereas with histories and physicals and discharge summaries, they could still dictate. Dictation machines were still readily available, and it really wasn't discouraged. And also, you know, what were the priorities of the physicians? Did the discharge, was order entry considered more valuable than the other two functions? Limitations, I can go through in detail here, but basically there are several. Limited number of hospitals, as I mentioned. Perceptions were not included. That can be a strength or a limitation. It limits, you know, what's included, but it sure makes it a lot easier. It's a single hospital system. It is a highly integrated system. And there could have been some mixing that I really didn't capture here. And it does, you know, the biggest weakness, of course, is this does not evaluate outcome or improvements due to the EHR. For further study, several examples are listed here. I won't go into any detail, but the biggest one, I really think we see need some qualitative evaluation to explain why these things were reversed. And then in terms of future questions, why are there the differences, and what is the cost benefit of the EHR? Conclusions, once again, organizational dimensions were predictive of adoption. There are differences between the action and the documentation functions. Alignment is significant, whereas loyalty and actually age are not significant. And I believe knowing the results may help administrators help with future implementations and installations. And if anybody wants the detailed stuff, I can give that to you later. But thank you.